I stand in a continuing relationship of love and obedience to God. I'm willing to spend and be spent. That's why I'm here. I'm here to be a servant of God.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The essence of Christian service. I believe that that is the subject material of the first seven verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2. There are many people in our modern world who suffer from what they call an identity crisis. By that, they mean that they do not know who they are, nor do they know why they are here. There's a reason for that. Biological evolution, if you want a broader term, uniformitarian evolution, has convinced them that they are nothing other than a highly organized system of molecules, that they are in some sense the product of billions of accidents over eons of time. The result of that is they cannot distinguish themselves from the machine they call the world. That's exactly in their mind how the world came into being. As they stand upon the globe and they look at the machine they call the world, the earth, they cannot distinguish themselves from it. It, like themselves, is the product of billions of accidents over eons of evolutionary history. The ultimate result is that they do not conceive of themselves or perceive themselves to have any special individuality, any uniqueness to their identity. And so they cannot say with authority, this is who I am, this is what I am, and this is why I am here. Many modern people in our day and age, many people in our modern world suffer from this kind of an identity crisis. They do not know who they are or why they are here. For them, life has become cheap. Life is not reverenced. It's just the product of accidents over eons of evolutionary history. For them, life has become cheap. For them, life has become chaotic. There's no design. There's no order. Just like their evolutionary history, there is no design. There is no order. For them, life has become characterless. It has become without meaning. Cheap, chaotic, without meaning. Those are terms that would describe modern man's life because he embraces the lie of the evolutionary hypothesis. Christians have no such crisis. Christians do not suffer from an identity crisis. They know who they are. They know they are creatures made in God's image. They know that they have special, unique identity. They have special, unique value. They are made in the image of God. Now, they are fallen creatures, and they know that. They've sinned. They're sinners. But if they're Christians, they are redeemed fallen creatures. And there's been a restoration, so to speak, of the image of God in them, a quickening of the image of God in them. They have infinite resources because an infinite God has taken up residence within them. They have no such identity crisis. They know precisely who they are. Creatures made in God's image, fallen but redeemed, inhabited by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, and their lives are filled with meaning. Beyond that, not only do they know who they are, they know why they are here. They are here to stand in a relationship of love and obedience to God. That's why God saves a man and a woman and then leaves them here on earth, so that they may stand in a relationship of love and obedience to God. That's what God wants from His children. He wants us to stand day by day, moment by moment before Him in a relationship of love. God, I love You. And I love not simply in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. God, I love You, and I will demonstrate my love to You by obeying You. I stand in a continuing relationship of love and obedience to God. I'm willing to spend and be spent. That's why I'm here. I'm here to be a servant of God. Christians know who they are, and they know why they are here. Now, Paul the Apostle for years had been a classic demonstration of Christian service. But suddenly, certain critical limitations had invaded his life. He was facing the limitation of time because death was imminent, and he knew it. This is his last letter. He expresses the reality of his imminent death in the fourth chapter of this letter. There was the limitation of time. Death was imminent. And there was the limitation of space. Confinement was permanent. He was in prison. He couldn't serve God quite so efficiently as he had done over all the years of his ministry. For years, his life had been a classic demonstration of the essence of Christian service, but now he was faced with the limitations of time. Death was imminent, and space, confinement was permanent. And so he writes to Timothy. Timothy is young, so he has time, God willing. And Timothy is free. He's not confined. And so Paul writes to Timothy, who is both young and free, and he urges him, as I would urge you, and as God would urge me as I study this passage, as God speaks to my heart in preparation. He urges Timothy, as I would urge you, to invest his life in that which will enable him to make the greatest possible contribution to mankind and bring the greatest possible glory to God, namely, invest it in Christian service. Become a true servant of God. And then Paul, so that we understand precisely what he means, illumines for us the essence of that service. Every child of God, every born-again Christian, ought to understand the essence of Christian service and purpose to engage in it. Are you the servant of God that God intends for you to be? Are you the servant of God that God left you here to be? God saved you. God made you. Then he saved you. Even though you're fallen, you're now redeemed. And now he says, I want you to be a classic demonstration in your world of influence, in this modern world, of what it means to be a New Testament servant of God. Every child of God ought to understand the essence of Christian service, and he ought to purpose to engage in it. Now, in verses 1 to 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul provides for us three significant insights into the essence of Christian service. And here they are. The first thing that he gives to us, we'll look at it, is the qualification of a servant. That's verse 1. The qualification of a servant. That's verse 1. Here's the irreducible minimum. If you want to be God's servant, if you want the fulfillment and the meaning and the joy that comes from being a servant of the eternal God, here's the irreducible minimum. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, the qualification of a servant. The second is the occupation of a servant. That's verse 2. In a word, it's preservation and transmission of God's truth. Preserve it and transmit it from generation to generation. And in verse 2, he gives us four characteristics of that truth. We'll look at it probably next week. The occupation of a servant. And then finally, he gives, in verses 3 to 7, the illustration of a servant. He says, let me use several illustrations, several metaphors or figures of speech from real life, which will help you to understand what it means to be a servant of God. He says, for example, a servant is a soldier, verses 3 and 4. That means he's single-minded. He says, beyond that, a servant is like an athlete. He has self-discipline, verse 5. And beyond that, he's like a farmer, stick-to-itiveness, verse 6. Then he concludes with a word in verse 7. So we have in these verses the qualification of a servant, we have the occupation of a servant, and then finally we have the illustration of a servant. Now let's look at verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, very powerful phrase. Paul could probably not address every one of us in that way because theologically we are not the sons or daughters of God.
There may be somebody listening to my voice over the radio
to whom that statement could not be addressed. We have not yet been born into God's family. We've not yet experienced his mighty, powerful salvation. He couldn't address us in that way. If that's the case, we can never hope to be the servants of God. Here's the irreducible minimum, the basic qualification of servanthood. Thou therefore, my son. The first thing is we must be a son of God. We must be sons and daughters of God, or we must be saved. The second is, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. A true servant of God must first of all be a son, and he must second of all be strong. Now that's the outline of the material, and we'll be developing that over the next several sessions together. First of all, Paul says, if you want to be a servant of God, first of all, he must be a son. Thou therefore, my son. Now what are we saying here? In saying this, we're saying nothing less than that Timothy had become a son of God. Paul says, you're my son. In what sense was he Paul's son? We saw it earlier in the first chapter, first couple of verses. He was the son of Paul only in the sense that Paul had been the human agent that God had used to introduce Timothy to this higher relationship with God. He was the son of Paul only in the sense that Paul had introduced him to the higher relationship of becoming a son of God. To reduce it even further and to make it even more simply stated, we would say in a word that Timothy had been saved. When Paul refers to Timothy as, thou therefore my son, there are worlds of theological significance in that phrase. We have a tendency to pass over it, but there are worlds of theological significance in that phrase. What he's really saying is, Timothy, you are saved. And that is the irreducible minimum to becoming a servant of God. It won't do you a bit of good to join a church or go through the sacraments or to become ritualistic, to become religious or turn over a new leaf or practice some kind of moral reformation. Before you can ever be a true servant of God, you must first and foremost be saved. You must become a son of God. You must become a daughter of God. You must be born into the family. And in essence, that's what Paul is saying here had happened to Timothy. What does it mean to be saved? Very briefly, what does it mean to be saved? What is the meaning of salvation? It's a precious word in the Greek New Testament. Soteria is the Greek word. In a very simple and yet in a very profound sense, salvation is that which rescues a man from all that would ruin his soul in this life and in the life to come. And this salvation can be found only in Jesus Christ, the Bible says. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. Salvation is that which rescues a man. Maybe some of you know I need to be rescued. There is this emptiness. There is this frustration. There is this powerlessness that attaches itself to my life. I need to be rescued. Somehow I need to be set free. Maybe there are these binding habits, these devastating ingredients that have attached themselves to my life. They're destroying me. I need to be rescued. Jesus Christ is in the rescuing business. And that's what it means to be saved. That's what Paul meant when he said to Timothy, you are my son, only in the sense that I've introduced you to that higher relationship. You've become the son of God. You've become the recipient of God's soteria, God's mighty salvation. You are rescued from all that would destroy and ruin your life here and now and in the hereafter.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
And the man who knows that he's saved, the man who's experienced the salvation of God, has within him and upon him a divine antiseptic.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.